It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Before we get into our study today, I'd like to share with you another tidbit of truth from God's Word. In Romans chapter 8, now we've read this before, I'm going to read it again. We haven't read the whole thing, but today I want to finish this. A tidbit of truth. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, it says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us?" This is speaking to saved people. Verse 35 goes on to say, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Now, Paul's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is God's word. This is God breathed. This is God who wants us to see this today. In verse 38, it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." It makes no difference how strong anything is in our lives or around us or in this world. Nothing is going to be able to separate us from God once we've trusted him as our Lord and Savior. There's nothing that can take salvation away. It's a free gift. Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary that you and I could have salvation. It's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No one can take that gift from us. It is free. God has given it to us.
I am pleased that once again you've decided to join me for It's a Good Life. Let me ask that you have your Bible open as we study in the book of James. We're continuing our study today in that book, and we're going to start with chapter 4. Well, in James chapter 4, James encourages those to whom he is addressing to consider what causes wars and fights among themselves. Remember, he's speaking to the church here. And he points out the problem as being their own desires for pleasure. And someone may say, "You mean there's problems in churches?" Well, if you've been around any length of time and been serving the Lord and you've been a member of a local church, you know that there's problems that arise. And we know that God is not the author of confusion, and he's not the one who causes these problems. It seems to be just a human characteristic that we want to have pleasure instead of serving God. Now, there's nothing wrong with having pleasure, but it depends on how that pleasure comes about and what that pleasure is. To emphasize his point, James describes these lusts or their lusts and coveting as even murder. Things were going on there that shouldn't be going on. For the things that they do not have, they are lusting and they cannot obtain. Their actions and thoughts causes their prayers to be fruitless because they have selfish motives in mind. As an Old Testament prophet would do, James charges them with spiritual adultery for trying to befriend the world. When we become a friend of the world and take on worldly ways as a Christian, hostility between us and God is the result. Now, James says to the people he is writing to, if they are willing to humble themselves, God is willing to show more grace, verses 1 through 6. He counsels them to draw near to God in humble submission, with clean hands, purity of heart, and true contrition. James also warns against speaking evil of brethren and judging one another, so as not to become judges and fail to observe the law of God, his word. Now this chapter, chapter 4 of James, ends with a warning not to count on tomorrow, because people do not know what tomorrow holds. Life is short. Therefore, plans need to be made according to the Lord's will. It's arrogant and sinful when we do not follow God's will. Now, the first thing I'd like for us to look at today is found in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, denying covetous desires. Verse 1 says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members?" We see here pleasure seekers, those who would rather have the things that actually they can't have over the things that God provides for them. This brings about divisions, and these divisions come from personal bodily lusts. And we might look at this word lust. It would be described as inordinate, in other words, unrestrained and covetous desires. This lust can be in the form of immoral desires for pleasure and can also be a desire to achieve something for wrong motives. And as we look at this word lust, we need to understand that it does not only mean something immoral, but it can mean any type of desire that becomes so strong, it becomes a lustful desire that we want it more than anything else, and that could be something such as a car, something that we would look at as that couldn't hurt us, but we want it so bad that it takes over our minds and our desires, and we suddenly find ourselves placing that above what God wants for us. James chapter 4, verses 2 through 3 talks about worthless prayer. Verse 2 says, "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." James seems to be saying here, you do not pray or get what you want because of your lustful actions. When we lust for something, it produces an action, a lustful reaction, a lustful action. And therefore, when we go to the Lord in prayer, the things that we should be praying for, we're not praying for those things. We're praying for that what we really don't need. It's something that would fulfill our lustful desires. Verse 3 of James 4 says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." He's saying when you do pray, your prayers are not answered because of wrong motives. You're asking for the wrong reasons. He's teaching us here, and he's teaching the people he's writing to this epistle. He's writing in this letter that people pray for the wrong reasons, and that shouldn't be. Now we look at verses 4 and 5. "Deny friendship with the world," James says here. In James chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible, and we might compare this with Mark chapter 8 and verse 38, where it says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." James talks about this, and he calls it spiritual adultery, in other words. And I believe that's what he's saying in verse 4 of James chapter 4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." That doesn't mean that we are to separate ourselves from people. It doesn't mean that we are to be hermits and just stay to ourselves and go to some mountaintop somewhere and live. What he's talking about here is that we are not to take on the attributes of the sinful world. We're not to be as the sinful people of this world now. Once again, we're still in this body and things are going to happen. We're still going to have problems as saved people. We're still in this fleshly body. But James is speaking here that we are to come out from among the world. We're not to be the same. When we start having a friendship with the things of this world that are wrong, then we become an enemy of God, even as a saved person. And that's not right. You are an enemy of God if you choose the corruptions of the world, James is saying here, if you choose those things over God. And when the world gets into the church becomes a painted sepulcher. Its spiritual vitality is extinct. Matthew 23:27, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are as like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." The Bible is very plain. The Bible says it makes no difference how beautiful the buildings are that people gather in. It makes no difference how beautiful those buildings are. It's what's inside those buildings. It's what's inside the person that counts. It's what that person is. And it's what that church represents. That church, a local Bible-believing church, is to represent God. And as such, we are not to take on the characteristics and attributes of this world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 says this, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." In other words, he's not exhibiting the love of God. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." In John chapter 15, verses 18 through 21, it says, "If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." I believe as we look into the Word of God, there is nothing there that is confusing when we read verses like this. We are in the world, but we're not of the world as Christians. We're not to take on the characteristics of the world. And in our churches, we're not to take on the characteristics of the world simply to draw the crowd. We're not to take on the characteristics of the world simply to look good, simply to impress people. And that's what James is saying, I believe, as we're studying through this word. And once again, in verse 4 of James 4, it says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Don't be like the world. Don't be taking on the attributes. Don't try to be, don't emulate the things of this world. Well, in verse 5 it says, "Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" I believe this is talking about God's jealousy. I believe this verse in James chapter 4 and verse 5 is not referring to any one particular verse of Scripture, but is referencing several verses in the Old Testament. James 4:4 speaks of those who are God's enemies. It is one thing for the world to be at enmity with God, but when God's people choose things of the world over God, then God is seen as a jealous God, and His people are seen as His enemies. You can go back to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 21. It says, "They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God." We're going to pick up here the next time in James chapter 4. We'll pick up with verse 6.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.